I'm a little nervous this morning, I'll tell you that. I don't know what to do. I bet your day was going really good until I walked out here and you realized that Greg wasn't going to be here today. And you go, I heard he was back in town and now we have somebody else. And I know the guys did a great job, but it's not the same. Now, today I don't have a cake and I don't have any cookie mix. I don't have anything like that. I'm sorry. And I'm not going to sing. It's just going to be you and me and the Lord and His Word today. So you're just going to have to buck up with it. But anyway, this morning, I'm just going to start with one verse is all I'll have. And I want you to stand with me. I'm in Luke 5, 17. And I'm just going to read part of the verse. But in Luke 5, 17, it says this. Now it happened on a certain day. Pray with me. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity to share your word. And I know it's your word that has the power and the strength. And I pray that you anoint your word. And Lord, this morning it's just me. And I pray that you use me in a special way and that you touch our hearts and lives, not by me, Lord, but by your word and by your presence and by your Holy Spirit that's in our midst. And I pray that everything I say and everything I do bring honor and glory unto you. And I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So how many of you think I'm completely crazy at this point? Don't raise your hands, but those that don't, I'll help you. But anyway, bear with me as we go through this. I want you to look at today. I want you to focus on today. Today, that's what we're going to be looking at. And we've had good days and we've had bad days. Have you had good days and bad days? I've had some really good days and that were just a blessing to me. But I've had some bad days and I've had days I'd like to forget. Y'all may not, but I've had several days I'd like to forget. But I've had a lot of really great days. And I was thinking about an illustration, because I like to tell stories, and y'all know that. If you don't know that, you better learn that. But anyway, I like to tell stories, and I was thinking about a good day. What day was a good day? And I thought all the way back to a basketball game that was a long time ago. I mean, I was 13 or 14 years old. And it's not because I was a great player. I was on the junior high team, but just barely. You understand? I mean, I was the furthest away from the coach you could get on any very end of the beach. That's where I was at, you know. And it wasn't even a really good game. In fact, we lost the game really bad. If I got to play, it was in the last few minutes of the game. I mean, just the last few minutes. I just barely got in. You understand that? We had to be really, really ahead or really, really behind. You understand that? Now, when I usually tell a story, I like to say that if we were 30 or 40 points behind, in the last few minutes, the coach would put me in to see if I could rally it and bring it out and we could win the game. Does that sound good? Or if we were way, way behind, you know, or they were way, I was there. If we were ahead, I was sent in the last few minutes to kind of hold them so they couldn't rally and score on us. Okay? I'd like to tell it that way. It sounds a lot better. But anyway, I was 6'5" tall and I weighed 150 pounds and I was a little awkward at 14, 15 years old or 13, 14 years old. And I gained all my height one summer and it wasn't really good. But anyway, it was the last of the ball game and we were losing by 30 or 40 points and I was sitting down there on the end of the bench but the last minute of the game, the coach let us go in, let me go in. Well, actually let everybody go in. It was on the very end of the bench. We all got to go in. And so we all went out there and their team even emptied. They sent all their people on the end of the bench. So this was all an awkward time and we were all out there. And anyway, we had the ball out of bounds and there was a minute left, Okay. So anyway, we had the ball and they threw it in and we were trying to work a play and I got the ball and I shot and I made it. And I got fouled. Okay? So that means I got a 1-1 shot. That means if I made one, I could shoot another one. If I missed it, I didn't get any more. Okay? So I made my 2 points and I got a foul shot. So here I am at the foul line and you know, you bounce it and you look tough and skinny because I was knees and elbows. But anyway, I was all ready to go, and I shot my foul shot and I missed it. But it bounced right straight back to me, and I shot it again, and I made it and got fouled. And I got a one-on-one shot. And so I thought, this is good, you know. So anyway, I shot that one, and I missed it, and it bounced right back to me, and I shot it again, and I made it and got fouled. Okay? This is, let me tell you, when I first walked the foul line, there was 6 seconds left in the game. 6 seconds. Okay, for the third time, I walked to the foul line, and I shot the ball, and I missed it. But it bounced right back to me. And I made it for the fourth time. I made it, made the shot, and the buzzer rang at the end of the game. I made 8 points in 6 seconds. So, we lost that game really bad. I was the happiest guy on earth. You know what I mean? I was so proud. I mean, all right, you know. It didn't get in the game for several more games. But anyway, that was a great day for me. And we have those great days. And I tell you what, I've had better days. I've had better days in ministry. I've had better days with family. I've had better days in church and got to baptize my kids. And I've had some really great days to remember. And anyway, but my point is, I want you to focus on this morning. I want today to be a certain day in your life. I want you to focus on your relationship with the Lord. For the last 3 weeks, the guys were teaching and preaching on the new Acts program and getting involved and doing things like that. And you may not realize this, but this is the last Sunday in July. Greg will be back next Sunday. I didn't hear an amen, but anyway, Greg will be back next Sunday. But next month, everything will be starting back up in our church. It used to be in September, but now it's in August. But I mean, everything's going to be starting. We'll have the Sunday mornings will be a full go. Sunday nights, we're going to be up and going in classes and things like that. And on Wednesday nights, we'll have all the kids here. We'll have Awanas. We'll have everything. Everything's going to be in full throttle next month. You realize that? Here's my question. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to go? You know, whatever you do here at First Baptist Church, you may be a deacon, you may be a teacher, you may be a leader of some sort, you may be a guide, you may be a greeter, you may be in the choir, whatever you do that you minister here in First Baptist Church, everything is going to get started, everything is going to go, and we need to be ready, and we have to look at ready. Are you prepared to do what you're called to do and minister to the people you're called to minister to? You know, that's really the question. This morning, I walked around in here, and I prayed for all these seats. I prayed for everyone that would be in this in church today, whether in this service or the next service, and everyone that would listen to it, and just in preparation for today. Today is one of those certain days, but we see that word in scriptures all the time, and the Bible uses it, and the Lord uses it, and he talks about a certain time. Or a certain day, or a certain man, or a certain people, or a certain whatever, okay? Now, every time he says that, it's special to the Lord. And this verse that we're looking at today, that we started on today, is special to the Lord. He designated that day. It was a certain day to the Lord. And I want today to be special for you, a day of preparation. Now, we see in the Old Testament a lot of days of preparation. We see days of preparation. They had days that they had to prepare for the next day. And it was a day that was for the service to the Lord. They would prepare for that. And it might be a special day that they would stand before the Lord. It might be a special day that the next day would be the Sabbath, or it would be one of the feasts, or maybe a celebration, or maybe it was just restoration. They'd have to prepare, have a time of preparation before they were restored. At different times, they turned away from God. But it was always, there was always a day of preparation to get started and to do that. And it's also listed in the New Testament. It's listed 6 times. Do you know that? In the New Testament. But it all talks about the first same day. Every time it's mentioned in the New Testament, it's listed as the same day. And it's referring to the day that Jesus died on the cross and he was buried. In John 19:31, it says this, "Therefore, brethren, because it was the preparation day that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. The day that Jesus died on the cross was a day of preparation. It was a day of getting ready. I don't think we realize how important days of preparation are to the Lord. And I don't think we realize how important that day was. And as a day of preparation, we like to look at it as a Passover and the day that he died on the cross and everything. But you realize that this is the day that Jesus prepared a way for us. This was preparation day. This was the day that he died on the cross for our sins. This was the day that he prepared a place for us, like he told his disciples. This was the day that he became the way, the truth, and the life. This was the day that started our salvation. It looked at it. This was the day that did that. And if you remember, it was that day that Jesus said, "It's finished. I've done it. I'm ready." He said that. Sometimes we don't realize that. And sometimes we don't realize how important it is to prepare for the Lord, to prepare for being here, prepare for ministry, preparing for whatever you're called to do. And today is a day of preparation. Today is that certain day. That's what I'm calling for today. Hebrews 4:7, it says this, "He designates a certain day, saying to David, 'Today, after such a long time, it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice and do not harden your hearts.'" We're called for certain days, certain times. Today is a day that we're called. It's a day to not harden our hearts, but to open our hearts before the Lord, to see what the Lord has for us, to prepare for whatever it is we're going to be ministering at next month. Wherever you start, whatever you're going to do, be prepared to do that. How do we open our hearts? Actually, this is taken from Psalms 95, and I'm going to read 6-8, and it says this, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are his people, of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion." Psalms 95 is actually a call to the people. It's a call to worship. It's a call for openness before the Lord, and it's a call of obedience. In verse 1 in that chapter, it says, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord." Verse 2 says, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving." And verse 3 says, "For the Lord is our God." And verse 6 says, "Let us kneel before the Lord, because he is our God, and we are his people." Today is a time to kneel before the Lord, to submit ourselves and to pray and give ourselves to the Lord. Getting ready, being prepared. Are you ready to serve the Lord? It doesn't matter where you serve in this church, what you do. You know, whether you're a deacon, a leader, teacher, or you're in Awanas, whatever it is, you need to be prepared for that. And if you're not plugged in to serve somewhere, you need to talk to some of the staff. I mean, they're looking for people right now to minister and serve in different areas. And we're wanting that because we're gearing up and we're getting ready. And you need to just talk to them because they have a place for you. But today is a day of preparation because he is our God and we are his people. And it's not a time to be hard-hearted. Let's go back to Luke 5:17. And I'm going to read that verse. And it says this, "Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law standing by, who had come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem." On this certain day, I want you to see who's there. You know, it gives us a list of the people that was there, and they were all God's people. You realize that. These were people that worshiped God. These were the religious leaders of that time. What these were this was anybody that was, I mean, or everybody that was anybody was at this, was here to hear him preach. They wanted to hear him. And they were there and to hear him. And it was all these religious leaders, and they were in the room, and they were all hard-hearted. You understand that? They were all hard-hearted. And you ask me, well, how do you know that? And if you go back and you look at these verses are very familiar to us, but for a different thing. I mean, it starts off, you remember the story where men put their friend on a bed and carried him across town and carried him to this place and tried to take him into the room where Jesus was teaching, and they couldn't get in, so they had to let him down through the roof in front of Jesus. Remember that story? I love that story. But why did they have to do that? Why did they have to tear the roof off? And some people say, well, it may have been too crowded. In verse 19 it says, and when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, we think, well, there was so many people there, they couldn't get in. I don't think that's true at all. I mean, if these were religious people, why would they not let somebody in that was sick? Really? It was because they were hard-hearted. They did not want to let him in. They didn't want to do it. They were there on a mission. They were there to hear him and try to see what he's saying and try to find some way that they could accuse him. That's what they were there for. They did not care about this man. They did not care that he was crippled. They did not care that he was paralyzed. And they didn't care that he would be healed. Jesus had been healing, but they didn't care about that. They were hard-hearted. But it finishes. Let me finish verse 17. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Did you hear that? Heal who? Who was there? Religious leaders. People that were supposed to be of God were there. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Think about that. All the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power of the Lord is present right here this morning. You realize that? To heal us. In Matthew 18:20, it says this. I know this is true because it promises this. For where two or more or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Now, I can safely say I think we're here this morning in the presence of the Lord in his name, aren't we? Didn't we come to this place to worship him and praise him? We're here in his name. So he's here, right? Jesus is here with us this morning. His presence is with us this morning. And Jesus, if Jesus is here this morning, his power is here this morning, right? It's here this morning and all that. So this is going to be a certain day. It says, on a certain day, the power of the Lord is present to heal them. On this certain day, the power of the Lord is present to heal us. To heal us. Whatever's going on in our life. As we read earlier, it says, let us worship and bow down and let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God and we are his people. Our church is going to start next month. And I want everybody to be ready. I want you to pray that the Lord will use you in his service. That I think you need to pray for the people that you will be ministering to. And I ask you to search your hearts for this. Is there something that's hindering you from doing what God is calling you to do? Is there something in your life that the Lord is dealing with you with? You need to get it right with the Lord so you can serve him and minister to other people. Have you prayed for the ones that's ministering to you? Have you thought about that? I mean, we're starting up. We got staff going and we got everything. Have you prayed for them? When was the last time that we had somebody that gathered around, a group of people gathered around Greg Sykes and pray for him, lay hands on him, pray for him? Think about that. You know, we were just at pastor's retreat and we got home Friday night. I was sitting there and I was thinking about that, and I thought because he had taken a time of rest, that's what he's gone for today. He's taking a time of rest, and we needed to have laid hands on him, prayed for him, and I wondered. I was real convicted about that. And then I was thinking about it, you know, we should do that, but when was the last time that you laid hands on your Sunday school teacher, or life group teacher here, but when was the last time you laid hands on your life group teacher and prayed for them? Do you think it's important, you know? How about one of the staff? Have you put your arms or hands on a staff member and prayed for them or any other leader in church? When was the last time you wrapped your arms around anybody that was hurting or in need and prayed for them? I think it's a time that we need to reflect on our lives. And you may say, well, I pray for people all the time. I pray for people at night. I pray for our pastor. I pray for Greg. I pray for everybody that's on staff. I pray for everybody that's on my prayer list and everything. When have you done it publicly? When have you come down and you prayed? You know what this area is right here? From all the way over there to all the way over there. It's called the altar in this church. Did you know that? Even the steps is called the altar. This is a place where you can come to and get serious with the Lord. I know you can pray in your seats. I know you can do that. But this is a place that you can come down and you can get serious. And it's just like it said to kneel before him, to come down and kneel down and pray for those that you'll be serving, and pray for those that'll serve you, and the importance of that. Several years ago, there was an elderly woman. She was a good friend of mine, but anyway, she's from Pottsville, and she was a war bride. During World War II, she married an American soldier, and she came back over here with him, and she lived here, and she raised her children here, but she was from England. And after the death of her husband, she got to go back to England and got to see all that. And she was so happy about getting to go home and visit and all that. And she was elderly at the time. But anyway, she got to go. And after she came back, she was telling me about it. And she said one of the highlights of her trip back to England was getting to go to in some of the old churches. And she said, you wouldn't believe it. Said they're all, you know, they were thousands of years old, and they were all made out of stone, and they were, you know, even all of it was just rock. And she said, I walked down to the altar, you know, in this church, and says, when I got down there, she says, I noticed that the steps there were war. There was indentions from all the people that had come down through the years and knelt at that altar and prayed. And she said, you know what I had to do? I had to kneel down there in those prints, and I had to pray to my Lord and my God, and know that all the thousands that had prayed there before me, and that was one of the most precious memories of her life. And now she's with the Lord, and she's in the presence of the Lord. But I'm telling you, the altar is a special place. I don't think we encourage people enough, you know. And I think it's time that people need to get serious with the Lord again. You know, people talk about, boy, this world is going, everything's bad, and I don't know what we're going to do, you know, and I don't know what to do and everything. I'm telling you what to do. You need to go before the Lord. You need to get serious. You need to come to the altar, and you need to pray for our country and do that. Have you ever laid hands on somebody and prayed earnestly for them? I'll have to tell you this. The altar is a special place for me. I have been there several times, and people laid hands on me when I was ordained as a youth leader, and as I was ordained as a pastor and everything at a special time. But some of you know the story, and some of you don't. But about 5 years ago, on a Friday, Kathy and I went for a wellness checkup. We went down to our insurance paid for it. We went down there to make sure everything's okay. We were feeling great. We were making a day of it. We went down there and had our appointments, and then we was going out to eat and everything, and we had a good time. We went and did that. So we had this wellness check, and it was on a Friday. Well, Monday morning, I got a call from my doctor, and he says, I need to talk to you. You need to come back in. He says, we took the blood test, but something's wrong, and you need to come back in. We need to take blood again. And I go, okay, make me an appointment, I'll come back in. He goes, no, you come in today. You come in now. Can you come right now? Come over here now. I go, okay. You know, so I went back in, and anyway, they took my blood again on that Monday, and they said, well, your PSA was real high. You know, we're afraid something was wrong, and we're going to do it again. And so, anyway, I got a call the next day from him, and he said, well, everything was the same. Says, we took your blood, and we tested it, and your PSA count was 150. That means it's supposed to be four or less. And I was 150. And he said, we have made you an appointment with a urologist Wednesday. And I go, okay, you know. So I went to the urologist, and they said, they ended with this phrase, we're praying for you. So it's never good when a doctor and his team, when they call you and say, we're praying for you. But anyway, I went down and he took my PSA and everything, and he tested me, and it was still 150. So he told me that the next week they were going to do a biopsy. And I learned then that if your PSA was over 100, if they started treatments aggressively, they could probably give you another 2 years. Okay? So anyway, so I heard all this, and they set me up for a biopsy and all this kind of stuff. And I asked him, I says, well, in this biopsy, will you find out if I have cancer? And he goes, no, we'll find out how to treat your cancer. You have cancer. And I said, okay. So anyway, the next Sunday night, I was supposed to go the next week. The next Sunday night, I was doing a pastor's Bible study in the old sanctuary over here. And after it's over with, Mike Cloud walked down and he told them what was going on in my life and what was happening. And everyone came forward that was in that Bible study, and they laid hands on me and they prayed for me right there. Wednesday night, in our Bible study class, all that group laid hands on me and they prayed for me that Sunday night. I went and took that test, and they went and did that biopsy, they told me, he said, this will show everything, you know, and they take about 12 specimen or pieces or whatever, and everything came back negative, nothing, couldn't find it at all, they wanted to check me and keep up with me. So the next couple of years, I was tested every 6 months, and they'd take a biopsy, and they would I'd have to do the scans and MRIs and things like that and everything. And we did that. And for the next 2 years, they tested everything. But anyway, after 3 years, they finally found that I had cancer. They finally found the cancer, but they didn't know how to treat it. They said, well, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. And anyway, I finally went to MD Anderson. They treated me anyway, by the way. But I finally went to MD Anderson. And they found that actually I had two different kinds of cancer. One was just a slow-moving thing, but the other one was real rare and real aggressive. But they were sitting there, and they go, we don't know how come they're not doing anything. You know, why have they been sitting there for all this time? I knew why, because I'd walked to the altar and people laid hands on me and prayed on me. You know, and they cured me of cancer. They said, well, one of them's real aggressive and the other one's all right, you know, but we don't know what was going on. But I tell you what, people prayed for me and they got serious with the Lord, and the cancer was stopped in their tracks. Now, I'm not calling you to a healing service. You realize that? I don't have the gift of healing. I've been healed of cancer, by the way, but I don't have the gift of healing. And I don't know why the Lord chose me to heal me. I know that I've prayed for other people that were sicker and needed healing worse than me, and he didn't do it. And I know other people that he had healed, and I don't know that. I don't know what it is about that. But I know this, God hears our prayers, and he answers our prayers. And he can do what he wants to. And when we get serious with the Lord, he can answer our prayers, and he can renew our lives. And I don't know what's going on in your life right now. I don't know what the Lord is dealing with you over, but he does, and you do. And I tell you this, today's the day you need to get right with the Lord, right? Today's the day you need to get serious with him. And this is the place. This is the place right here. This is an altar for it, you know. I don't know what's going on in your family. I don't know if you need to pray for family members. I don't know what's going on. I don't know there. But is it not time to get serious with the Lord and get on your face and kneel and pray to him? Is it not time to do that? Everything starts next week. Starts here. Starts with prayer. Everything does. Pray for those that's on your heart. Pray for those that's on your mind. Pray for those that will be ministering to you, that the Lord will anoint them and use them in a great way. Our church does great things. You realize that? We do great things. And that's because we try to follow the Lord. We do what he says. And I'm telling you that if our hearts are open to him and our minds are open to him and we call out to him and we pray to him, he'll hear our prayers and he will bless us as a people. And he will work in these ministries and people will be saved and people will be reached and things will happen because we're ministering and to the Lord in the way that he's called us to minister. I don't know what you need to do. But this morning, you need to prepare. Next month, we're going to be before the Lord. We're going to work and everything will be full out. And you need to be ready and you need to be prayed up. Amen? It's time to do business with the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I come for you and I thank you so much just for the way that you've ministered my life. Lord, I thank you for the way that you have worked with me, that you have done things for me, and you've answered my prayers. And this morning, we come before you with this prayer. Lord, use us. I pray that you exposed everything on our heart, Lord. If there's nothing, if there's something there that you don't like, we pray that you would just remove it. We pray for families. We pray for our church. We pray for Pastor Greg this morning. As next Sunday, he's going to be back. And Lord, I just pray that you anoint him and that you use him again in a great way, Lord, and he's refreshed and strong and ready to go. We pray for all the teachers as classes are coming up. We pray for all the leaders and the greeters at the door and the choir and everyone that's going to be here, Lord. I just pray that you just bless them, anoint them, Lord. And I pray that you just use this church to minister in a great way. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand.